So God is building your life. God is building your family. God is building your career. God Himself building a new house for you. Maybe those who never say amen, they already have a new house, I think. God is building a new car for you. Amen. God is building a new career for you. God is building your ministry. God is building your future. God is building your legacy. Whatsoever pertaining life, God is building for you. Amen. That's Father's good intention, Father's good heart towards you. Amen. This morning, this evening, I want to actually nail down a couple of thoughts. I want it to be so engaging. I want you to just open your eyes and see what God will do through the preaching of the word. Remember the woman that came to Jesus, she had an issue of blood. She had issues for so many years, but she reached out to Jesus and touched Him. You know, she reached out a hand and said, so many people were around Jesus, and I believe so many of them would have touched Jesus, that one person in that meeting got touched with Jesus, by Jesus. Because she knew that the power of God were coming. Likewise, my friend, those who are watching and online and those who are here, you can be in the crowd, but you can sometimes miss the touch of God if you actually don't believe. Okay. Because at certain point that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wrote like this in the Bible, He said, I cannot do miracle in this place because of unbelief. Son of God, Son of Man is a miracle worker, and He couldn't actually do miracle in the certain place because there was unbelief. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not that person. Amen. Turn to yourself and say, I'm not that person. Amen. So the posture of our hearts tonight, Jesus, will you touch me tonight? The posture of your mind should be, Jesus, would you touch me tonight? Because God wants to touch you fresh. A moment of touch with this living God, a moment of touch from the presence of God will ever change our life. Amen. The struggle, the pain, the confusion, the lack of enthusiasm, the lack of passion, the lack of love, whatsoever that's bothering you, a moment in the presence of God, it can change. That is the good news. That is the gospel of Jesus. Amen. But I want to start off this morning, this evening with Isaiah 41. You know, Ivan's going to shoot this. And this is the word of the Lord as I minister on the Father's affirmation towards you. This is the word of the Lord for you. And I was praying and asking God, what am I supposed to talk about? And I felt the Lord says, I want you to be a warrior tonight. I want you to expel fear from my people's heart. And the Lord says, I want to expel fear from the people's heart. And I felt the Lord was saying, like, don't cast fear out, but introduce love. How many of you know you cannot fear, you cannot cast fear, or you cannot get rid of fear, but you need to be introduced to the King of love. And I felt the Lord's going to love on you, and there's going to be exchange between earth and heaven tonight. So I want to open your heart and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. Why don't you put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, open my heart tonight. Father, we are ready to receive from you. You know, the word sozo means, salvation means to be healed, to be saved, heal, and deliver. As the word are being preached, I believe some of you are going to get saved, healed, and delivered tonight. At the very minimum, that you go back with more in love with the Father than ever. Just take a few moments and say, Lord, Father, I love you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Holy Spirit, come from the top, Lord, from here right up to the back. Let your presence fill the house as the word is being preached, Father. Lead us into an encounter with you. We are made for an encounter. Lord, we just don't want information about Jesus. We just don't want information tonight, and we can go back and have a good dinner, but let there be a Lord touch in our spirit, man. Come on, pray. Just take 30 seconds. Say, Lord, touch me tonight. Touch my Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I'm reaching out to you, Lord. If God can use a donkey, God can use anyone. If God can use a donkey, God can use anyone. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at Isaiah 41, verse 10. This is a prophetic. This is like the word I want to actually introduce, and then we'll jump on a few things. This is what the Lord is saying to you tonight. Fear not. The Lord is saying to you tonight, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't get freaked out. Don't get, don't get contrung. You know, you must see the way Pastor Derek reacts sometimes when he has so many things to do. He's like, I need to do this. I need to do that. Let's go. Let's do that. Don't get so caught up. Don't be dismayed for what is happening, for I am your God. No, go back to that again. I am your God. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And then the next one, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, says God. He is with you. He will strengthen you and He will help you. I want you to just take a moment. Just let this word sink in your spirit. Father, I will not fear. Fear is not your portion, church. Fear is not your portion. The Lord say, Scripture says, for the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, of love, power, and sound mind. Whatever area that you feel fear, let the presence of God. Fear not. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. And in the next verse, the next say, He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. These are the righteous right hand of the Father. He's upholding you. He's holding you. And as you meditate on this word, I believe there's going to be a breakthrough in your spirit tonight. And there's places you feel stuck, the places you feel that things are not being formed, the things feel like stuck and delayed. And may the Lord release His righteous hand over that place. Come on, receive the word. Come on, how many of you believe that? Can we give the Lord a mighty clap? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Fear not, says the Lord. Fear not, says the Lord. Because fear, there's two types of fear, right? Fear of God and then the fear of the enemy. And oftentimes the fear of God doesn't chase you away, but the fear of God actually draws you to Himself. You know, Jesus was a righteous king, righteous man. He was walking on earth, revealing the Father. And he didn't at any point, you'll never see God. Jesus shut people away, but everyone who came to Him, He just, embraced them. That's the nature of Father. One of the way, I want to establish some truth tonight before we get in. Now look at me. One of the reasons why Jesus came to the earth, there's so many exhaustive lists, if you can look at, He became the Savior, so many things He did. He became the champion of women's movement, first woman ever, God, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus always had women around because in those cultures, women were oppressed, and they were not given chances, but it was a woman that saw the resurrected King. All right, one of the way, so many lists, there's so many things that Jesus did. But one of the most profound things that I want to get into your heart tonight, which will give a breakthrough, a deeper intimacy with you and the Father, is this, that Jesus absolutely came to reveal the Father. He didn't just came to reveal a God to us, but He came to reveal a Father. All right, in the name God, all right, in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself in a couple of ways. This is a little bit of teaching and preaching. Number one, He revealed Himself, Elohim. We are familiar with that. How many of you are familiar with that? Okay, two people are born again tonight. How many of you are, you're familiar with the word Elohim? In the Old Testament, the word Elohim, God as a creator, God as a creator. And then He revealed Himself as Jehovah. His name was represented. Name was represents Jehovah, and then that's the compounded name of God. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah what? Rapha, right? God my healer. When God, when the Holy Spirit wrote, when God revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha, it's not that God is healing you; it is God is healer. So when you dwell on God who's healer, healing flows out of you. Does that make sense? So our prayer changes. God, please help. You go to God is healing in this moment. God, help me to get closer to you. You go, He's Emmanuel. God is ever present right now. Amen. So you get a shift of how you look at God. Jesus came to reveal the Father in a very powerful way. And then it is, Elohim, Jehovah. And then it is in the New Testament that you see Jesus, one of the most profound scripture, I think in John chapter 17, He said, Father, I have finished my work. John 17, He said, Jesus, he looked at the Father and He said this, John 17, verse 5. He says, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I have with you before the foundation of the world, before the world. So look at me. Tonight it's all about the Father and the Jesus towards you. What did they think about you, right? Listen, you know, it says, Father, I have now glorified me together with you with the glory which I had before the world. What does that mean? The Son of God, listen, church, this will make you fall in love with Jesus. This will make you to express yourself and worship a little bit more than you usual. Jesus was full of glory. 1 John chapter 1, he was full of power, full of glory. You know what he did? He left that place of glory and majesty for you and I. Why? Okay, listen. Go back to verse. No, I'll answer that question again. Why? He left the glory of the Father and he became a man of sin. Look out for Easter and Good Friday. The theme for you, Easter and Good Friday, is the bearer of sin and the righteous king. Two different dates. We're going to have evangelistic meeting. But he became a bearer of sin, afflicted, rejected, completely, utterly took the sin of the entire world. All right? Not just ours, entire world. Just imagine the most darkest person that you know, not dark interference, but in sin. Their sin was taken by Jesus. Well, how did he do that? He had to leave the glory of the Father. What is glory, then? We'll get into it. All right, the glory of the Father, the expression of the Father, glory is the nature of the Father. Everything that about the Father and all the glory left, and he said, I am going to be utterly empty. Remember, Ephesians said he became a servant by emptying by himself. He became utterly empty for you and I. Isn't that a good news? For you and I, he completely became naked on the cross. Some of the picture we see on the cross, in the picture, I was Googling Jesus on the cross so I can put it on my display because I want to keep looking at the bearer of the sin, and I wanted to fall in love with him again and again, but I couldn't find the bloody one. All are smiling, Jesus still smiling, but some are a very good one. But he took the very curse. He took the very thing, sickness and bondage of the world for you and I. All right, for you and I. I'm going ahead of myself. All right. Verse 5. And he says, number 6, he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Look at this. I have manifested what? Your name. What did Jesus do? He manifests the Father's name. First ever, he introduced the Father God to us by coming to the earth. Never. All right. God kind of like let it go through the prophet and say, I'm your father, I'm fathering you. They couldn't get the revelation of it. They couldn't get it. But when Jesus came, he completely revealed the nature of the Father. You see, I've manifested. The word manifest is an expression. If I'm praying for someone, when healing, somebody gets healed, it's called the manifestation of the spirit of healing. So Jesus was manifesting the Father. And how do he manifest the Father? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. And again, you see the life of Jesus again. In many ways, he began to reveal the Father to us. He came to reveal his Father to us. Verse 7, now we have come to know that everything you have given me from you, and the words which you have given me, I have given to them, received from them, truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe, and you sent me. Go to verse 22. I'm going to answer the question, why did Jesus leave his glory? The glory which you have given me, I have given to my church. See, it was the glory which you have given me, I have given them. Who is them? Who's them? Come on, who's them, church? You and I. What glory did Jesus give us? We sing this song, right? I give you the glory. Do you know that you cannot give glory unless you have one? And then we think, oh, we cannot touch God's glory. Never, ever, ever, ever anyone can touch His glory. You know why? We are not capable of doing it. But what did Jesus say? I'm restoring the glory of the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, when God the Father and the Son at the biggest conference in heaven, they said, we need to make men in our own image, in our glory, and put our glory in them so that can they have dominion and show the world what does it look like to have, you know, God, the children of God walking on earth. Come on now, I encourage. So it talks about you and I. But we know sometimes we go like, hey, we can, you know, it's glory. Hey, better not, God. Oh Lord, I'm empty, Lord. No, I'm nothing. Yes, we are nothing, but we are everything with Him. That's why I know I was sharing yesterday. That's 8 to 9 times God, Jesus said, John, you know, the book of John. If you know, if you know, being a Bible school student, you know, if there's some words, auntie, if some words, sister, if the Lord repeat again and again and again in a passage, that means God is saying, pay attention to that word. One of the words that God keeps saying, Jesus keeps saying in John 15, 16, 17 is this: I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. It's all the Father. You know, the doctrine I have is from the Father. Don't look at me. Look at the Father. You know what Jesus did? You know, He said, like, I am nothing because everything is Father. What am I trying to say? We are nothing, but with Father and His glory, we are get everything. How is this scriptural? Look at Psalms 8:5. Look at Psalms 8:5. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Psalms 8:5. This is prayer. Prophetically, David is praying. He said, for you made him a little lower than angels. And here's what he says. God, you have crowned Calvary City Church with glory and honor. Now, when you say, the other translation says, you have manifested or you have crowned your people with glory and majesty. This is the word of the Lord. Hey, majesty, what are you talking about? It's only God. But here's the thing. It takes God to love God. It takes God to reveal Himself to us. You know, we cannot do anything in our own effort. It takes Him to actually come after you. Because the scripture says, Romans 5 says, before the foundation of the world, He already loved you. Romans 5, and it says, you know, while we were still, yet we were still sinners. While we were sinning, while you didn't know God, while you didn't have, you have no clue that you knew Jesus, you know, He already loved you. So He gave us the glory and honor. And that's why, you know, if you go to certain, you know, certain worship sets, if you, you know, just traveling little places, that when the moment they say, Lord, we give you glory with understanding that you have something to give to God rather than just take from Him, that atmosphere is filled with the glory of the Lord. And I believe tonight the Lord actually wants you to be aware of who you are in Christ Jesus and how the Father sees you, because for a long time you have been listening to the voice of the accusation of the enemy that you're not good enough, that God cannot touch you, or you don't have this, you don't have that, and make you be aware of the lack and poverty of the world. But tonight the Lord's going to infuse you with the Father's thoughts over you. The Lord's going to infuse you what He thinks about you, what God thinks about you. What God says about you is far more greater than what I can do for God. You know why? Because everything starts with Him and everything ends with Him. In this relationship I have with God, it's not even sometimes my performance. It's not sometimes like, you know, I need to do this and do that. You know, we can do that. But here's what He's looking. He's looking for a people that will offer the glory that He has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is this glory that we're talking about? The word glory actually in the New Testament means doxa. You know, it means doxa, like the word Dorcas. Doxa comes from that, doxology. You know, we sing the song doxology. The word, do you know what the word doxa means? First two translation. Let me give you some biblical background to this. You will see this word again and again, you know, John, book of John, and different places. The word glory, it's this. It's an opinion. It's a good opinion about someone. I don't have the slides, but I wish I can change. The word glory in is the first root, right? It's about a good opinion about someone. And in the new, only in the New Testament it says that. So the scholars explain like this: when there's a word glory in the New Testament, it's always about a good opinion of someone or something. It's always about a good opinion. When God says, I know, let them have the glory that we have, God gave one of the things, I believe this, I'm still learning on this, is when you have a good opinion about God and yourself, you'll begin to experience the glory of the Father. When you have a good opinion about God and yourself, you begin to actually experience a greater intimacy with God. How does that know? And I was talking to my dad actually, just a couple of days ago. He's admitted in the hospital. He was sitting on the bed and he was like, go back. I said, no, I want to sit with you. About 10 o'clock, 10:30. He was just rushed to the hospital, but you know, he's okay, but pray for him. And he was sitting next to me and I just put my hand around him. I was just praying for him. I'm just rubbing his back and praying for him. And then he was talking about stories and different things like that. And I always actually had this disagreement with my father because he's already 70 plus and he's a bit fragile. And I told him, don't go to work, just stay home and take care of the grandkids. But he reluctantly wanted to go for work. It's not like they're paying him 10,000 ringgit, no? If then I'll send him, you know. But he, let's not go there. But you know, it's just, I was like, Dad, it's okay, you stay home. Just pray for the family and enjoy the family. You know, he said, no, I need to go to work. And I thought, like, this whole man don't want to listen to me, you know. And I, you know, honestly, I had a sort of like, Lord, I don't agree with this kind of thing. And he was sitting next to me. Actually, yesterday he was explaining to me different things. And he said, Johnny, do you know something? You know why I wanted to go for work? Because actually I wanted to save money for your wedding. And I never knew it. Almost 5-6 years, I never knew it. He said, actually, it was saving money for my wedding. I don't think so much, you know. And then at that moment, right, like my perspective of my dad just changed. Like, oh man, I love you more now. Before that, I was complaining, you know, us Jeff and Derek, they know. But you know, but then the moment he said, I was saving money for your wedding, and 3 times he says that. 3 times again and again, called my mother and said, like, I know, I'm going to get better, I'm going to go work, and then I'm going to save money for Johnny's wedding. My perspective of my father just changed in a moment when I knew what he was thinking about me. Oftentimes, we have this misconception who the father is, and we live in a life that is not fulfilling the glory actually that he intended for us to live in. Often that we have a screwed, you know, perspective about God the Father, and all our prayers sometimes can reveal those things, and our preaching can reveal those things. Actually, we don't have a good view of a good Father. And I begin to actually meditate on that, and I begin to like look at the scriptures and say, Lord, you know, and different things, and the scriptures points to this thing. The life of Jesus, right? He came to reveal and points to this one thing, that nothing of this, nothing but God is good. And the devil is bad. That God in his absolute perfect nature is good. He's so good that he blows our mind away. Look at Luke chapter 15. We don't have time, but Luke chapter 15. I know when you look at, how many of you know the prodigal son story? All right. You know, do you know that the word prodigal son actually is not originally there? You know, the heading of the Bible, when the Bible was created, it's all no headings. It's all just one page. It's translators put the word prodigal son. If I was a Bible translator, I pray one day I'll be, you know what I'll put? I'll put that scripture, the title of the word, not a prodigal son. You know, I'll put that a good father. You know why? That story is about all about the father who actually let go of the beloved son. And you know, he knew that the son gonna mess up. He knew the son actually, you know, gonna go in the wrong way. Yet the father actually loved the son. And you know, if you don't know the story, go back and read Luke chapter 15. You know, when in the Jewish, I did a little bit of a study. When a father, son comes to a father and say, Father, give me your inheritance because I want to go away. It is indirectly a saying, you are dead and good for nothing. You are dead and good for nothing. And give me my inheritance because I want to go and do my own stuff. And this is what the scripture said. The father gave him, let him go. Let him go, and you know the son went and you know did a mess and different things and da 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 da. And then he comes back. The scripture says before he even could come back to the house, the father was looking for him. That is the love of the father towards you and I. Before we could even say yes to him, you were already looking. you already were coming up to earth, Mom. The first point tonight is this. The Father loves you with everlasting love, and there's never been a moment that He didn't love you. There's never been a moment, my friend, that God didn't love you. You cannot justify saying, God doesn't love me. So there's a pandemic and different things, you know, I keep hearing people saying, God, I don't know if God loves me. You know, my friend, I have a good news for you. He's ever looking out for your presence. He's ever, your eyes, the Father's eyes, is always on you to see how He can love on you. Isn't that good news? How many of you are encouraged? Can I see your hand? It's, you know, it's Jeremiah 31 verse 3. You know, clearly says this, you know, with everlasting love. Therefore, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So God is always looking out for you. Whether you're looking or not, God is always, His love for you is conscious, coming after you. It's coming after you in your secret place, in your driving, you know, in your working. His love is constantly expressing itself. All you have to do, I'll tell you later, how do you get connected with the love of God? But all you have to do is turn your affection towards the Father and say, and recognize that He's loving you. Number two. Father loves you. We're talking about what the Father thinks about us. My friend, the Father loves you. It's found in John chapter 16. The Father loves you so much that He wants to express His love and affections to you. Look at this. Father loves you so much that He wants to express His love and affection to you. It's found in John chapter 16 verse 27. Jesus said, for Father Himself loves you because Father loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came forth. That you have loved me, came forth from God. Father loves you so much that He wants to express His love. And how does God express His love? How does God express Himself? Look at how Jesus expressed Himself in the Bible. God can multiply the little two fish and five loaves you have. That's how He expresses Himself. How does God express Himself? When you feel alone, when you feel no one is there for you, He is ever present. He expressed through His word. He's expressed through His presence. Suddenly you feel the presence of God fills your house. Suddenly you see the deal that not supposed to happen begin to happen. Why? Father is expressing Himself towards you. Amen. Amen. Number three, the Father loves you so much that to the extent, you know, I would say this, the Father loves you as much as He loves His Son Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't give one of His Son, you know. He didn't give like one of the sons. Let's say, no. Okay, Jesus, do you want to go? No. The Bible says in the Colossians, Jesus is the expression of heaven. That means every part of heaven is revealing Jesus all the time. That's why you cannot preach the gospel in heaven. Only here. So let's do that. Good. Amen. For greater harvest. Let's do that well. Because the only place you and I can talk about Jesus is on earth, not in heaven. Because why? His expression. And Father gave His only one begotten Son that He loves the most for you and I. And the same level that God loves the Father, He loves you. Let me give you a clue what God thinks about you. Matthew 3:16 says, for this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus was baptized and He got up from the water, before He did any miracle, signs and wonder, or prove himself for ministry or anything, my friend. Come on, wake up, don't sleep. Anything. God the Father said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you know that you don't have to perform before God? You don't have to act or put up a face before God. I have a good news for you. We cannot. You know why? When He looks at you, the eyes of love approves everything about you. How about your weaknesses? You know, the last weekends I was preaching, you know, in SIB, and the Lord began to minister, you know, and I felt this word came very strong, that tell My people that I love them in their weaknesses. You know, Songs of Solomon, you will say this. You're not perfect. You look at the Shulamite's woman and say, you're not perfect, yet I love you. So God loves you the way He loves the Son, the same intensity that He loves His Son, He loves you, my friend. There's no separation between the Father and the Son. We cannot go deep into that because of time, but God the Father will always be Jesus. And Jesus said, I only do my Father is doing. You know, do you know that Jesus wasn't bothered about what's happening in the political realm with the religious? You know, He was in response of the Father's love. And everyone who came to Him get a touch from Him. Everyone who came to Him, you know, had an encounter with the Lord. I want to suggest to you, when you are aware of the Father's love, you will walk in a dimension or in a protection that the enemy cannot touch you. Because love is greater than fear. Okay, 10 people. Great, love is greater than fear. When you walk in love and you're aware of love, what happens? You cast out all fear. Amen. No fear of COVID in Jesus' name. Why? The Father is with us. The Father's love is on us. He has approved us. He's watching over us. If God is for us, my friend, who can be against us? No one, no demons. Pastor, how did you get COVID? I don't care. I got it for 2 weeks, for God's sake. I texted Auntie Ding. I got it for 7 days, and I got it for another, the doctor said, you need to quarantine 7 days. I know what Auntie Ding texted me. She said, very good for you. No, just kidding. You know what she said? She said, I don't understand this COVID la. But who cares if you get COVID or not or whatsoever, because the Father is still seated on the throne. He's still reigning in righteousness. At the end, we're going to see His face and we're going to have a great, happy time with God. Come on, church. He's seated on the throne. He's not shaken. Do you know that my friends in Poland, my God, I wish I can show you the video. my friends went to rush to Portland. A couple of, the non-religious friends. You know what I'm talking about? They just don't have the word, but they do the word. You know what they did? They went to rush to Poland, near the Russian borders. You know what? The last 2 to 3 weeks probably, they're preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel. They're saving. They're giving out tracts. Jesus loves you. I know so many videos they're sending to me. They say, you know what? Last 2 weeks, 7,000 to 10,000 people have received Jesus. If this doesn't excite you, you need an encounter with the Father's love. Come on. What is happening? Though the war broke out and people are coming out, I tell you, God's kingdom still advance. God's plan for us will take its place. God's right intention over you will come to pass. I'm not going to say that. We're all going to have a happy, good life. That's what I want. If you don't want a happy life, good for you. I want a happy life. I want a good car, I want a blessed home. You know, that's what Jesus, part of it, Jesus does it. This is not a prosperity gospel, but it's part of the gospel. You know, I don't care what the enemy is doing. Church, we need to rise up into a place and say, you know, enemy does all the time. He's, from the beginning, he's doing something stupid. From the beginning, he's trying to act smart. Trying to show off, try to worship me, Jesus. I'll give you everything. To the Son of God, he's saying, can you worship me? He's been worshipped by angels all over the all century and ages. And you're going to Jesus, can you worship me? Okay, I'll show you all these things. He's trying hard to stop. But the good news is our God is unstoppable God. I want to encourage you today. Our God is unstoppable. You know, Isaiah says, the kingdom of God is moving. The kingdom of God is expanding. The kingdom of God, regardless man or woman, God going to accomplish what He has purposed. My friend, that is the good news for you. Regardless anyone stands next to you, regardless there's COVID or not, regardless man approves you or not, but my God will see you through. My God will see you through, my church. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail. Stop performing before God and try to be a good son. You know why? Romans 8:15 says this. Romans 8:15. Ivan, come on. I'm going to give a knock on your head. Come on. Romans 8:15. For you do not receive a spirit of bondage to fear. Yeah. Hey, careful. You know? I'm not saying everybody hug yourself. Don't get me in trouble with Pastor Rajan, okay? I'm not talking about COVID fear. I'm just talking about fear of your identity. Who do you think God is in your life and for him? Like, oh God, I don't know. God, somebody knows something. God, I cannot. God honors that. But I'm saying there's a different glory that you can live in that Jesus promised. He says, for the spirit of bondage, you did not receive the spirit of bondage. You have received a spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:5 says, he gave us the spirit of Jesus. Oh. He didn't give you anything, but give you the spirit of Jesus inside of you. Why do you think God says, I am jealous of you? This is a temple of God. Make sure you don't get into sexual immorality. You know why God said that? Because the spirit of Jesus lives inside of you. That is the glory that God gave to us. That is the glory that the spirit of Jesus lives inside of us, and he glorified us, glorified this mortal body. Lord, I'm not talking about the glorification that's going to happen when we see Jesus face to face. I'm talking about the resurrected King glorified his bride through his blood. Through his blood. And you know what is happened? When the Holy Spirit came and the spirit of Jesus came on you, we can call him Abba. This is the only place, church. I got 10 more minutes to finish. Actually, I got 10 points now. I just did 2. Let's do series number 2 next month, okay? Abba, you know what? It's the only place, church. The Holy Spirit didn't allow. You know, who wrote Romans? Paul. To translate into a different language. It's the only time, even the NKJV, whatever, they don't have a translation to this. It's called Abba, Father. It's the only place. You know why? Let's say Derek is my father. If I call him father, it's like such a formal thing. I won't call my father a father. I don't know if you do that. I don't do that. How do I call a father? Father, can you feed me? Imagine Vicky, Judah comes to you and say, Father, let's go to Toys R Us. You're slapping. What's wrong with you? Possessor. Why? You know, when the Holy Spirit put the word Abba, Father, in Jewish culture right now, they still call their father Abba. You know, it's an expression. It's the most intimate expression of the bride towards the Father. Abba, Father. It's the most intimate. That's why he left it there for us to obtain it, to believe it, to receive the Father's love. Amen. Let's do one more, then I'm going to pray for you. Because the time is running after us. Sounds like Pastor Rajan a bit, huh? Okay, the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. I want you to do something this week. Can I give you some practical tool? In your secret place, right? Don't go. Okay, I honor the gift of tongues, right? But don't go this way. Don't do that first. Do it a bit later. But what do you do? Turn on your one of the most... Get the mic, guys. Get the mic. Turn on one of your most favorite worship and say, Father, thank you for loving me. You just do that. As you begin to do that, the way Father loves Jesus, that intensity, that expression will begin to penetrate into your presence, in your room. You go like, Lord, I love you. In my weaknesses, I love you. In my strength, I love you. You know, do you know the Father loves you, likes you so much that he wants your heart to be his dwelling place? Let me repeat that again. Father likes you so much. Father loves me so much that he chose this quote unquote filthy, not anymore because of the blood, of this fragile flesh that oftentimes doesn't actually have a greed how he loves to be his what? Dwelling place. John 14:23. Come on. John 20. Jesus said to him and said, if anyone loves me, this is talks about us. If anyone loves me. He didn't say anyone perform, anyone in the ministry. And he just said the basic, anyone loves me, keep my word. and my Father will love him. How many of you want to be loved by the Father? And we will come to him and make our home. We will make a dwelling place. What happened when God decided to come to your house? I think God is coming. We are not just aware about it. Because scripture says this. Two or three gather in whose name? In my name. Samjit's mother went, two or three gather in my name. And I am in the midst of them. What do you have to do in worship sets? Stop looking at yourself and say, Lord, you are here. We just honor your presence. Anytime, church, look at me. Anytime you glorify the Son in worship, right? You know, anytime you glorify the Son, say, oh, you're amazing, God. You're awesome. You are majesty. And when you do that, you know what happens? The Father begins to respond to you. Because the Father can only respond to his Son. And when he responds to his Son's worship, right? When we are worshiping the Son, when the Father responds to the Son, what happens? The Father begin to respond to our praise and worship. And when that happens, Psalms 23, 22 verse 3 happening, he begin to rest on the praises of his people. Somebody get your praise harp this morning, tonight. You need to get your praise up, because when you actually glorify the Son, the Father responds to you. And finally, I want to say this and I want to end this. Come, songs, come on, guys. Come on. Quick. Maybe not all of them, just the singers will do. Come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift your hands to the Father right now. Father, I pray every thought of yours, let it be ours. Everything that you say is about us, let it be ours. God, that you don't look at us through our failures. You don't look at us through our misunderstanding about you, God. You don't look at us about how much we can perform and be in the ministry or do this or do that. Lord, all that is an overflow of our love to you, God. Lord, tonight, as the body of Christ, as a bride of Jesus, I want to lift your hands to the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. But in a seated place, I want you to glorify the Son. Can you do that? Just put his name on your lips and begin to worship the Lord. Ooh. Come on, just begin to worship the Lord. Can you do that? Just lift your voice. As you do that, you begin to experience the love of God. God, we love you. There's no one like Jesus, my friend. And there will never be like Jesus. You know, there's only one God that can worship. That's the presence of God, the Jesus. When we do that, what happens? We begin to experience the delight of the Father. It's not through good preaching. It's not good through sermon. It's not good through reading of your word or whatsoever. It's all that important. But when you glorify the Son, the Father's delight comes. Come on, let's glorify the Son. Can we do that? Oh, hey. Why don't you stand to your feet? I feel the presence of God is increasing. Stand to your feet. We're gonna end in a few minutes. Oh, come on, Calvary City Church. Come on, Calvary City Church. Let it be a praise, because he loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you because of that. Come on, give him the glory. Everywhere. Give him the glory. Give him the glory that he gave you. One final thought. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who love God and call according to his purpose. What does that mean? My friend, the Father, because of the Father's love, you are forever free from the condemnation of the enemy. You are free from the condemnation of the enemy. You are free from the condemnation of the enemy. You are free from sickness in Jesus' name. You are free from bondage in Jesus' name. You are free from financial trouble in Jesus' name. You are free from loneliness in Jesus' name. You are free from every word that people have talked about you. Every slurring, every accusation, every slander, every misunderstanding against you. I pray, I take authority. Come on, whoever does need that word. Those who are watching online, those who are here, take it, it's for you. Let it not happen in Jesus' name. I take authority. Every condemnation that came, every word that speaks against the calling of God over your life, every word that speaks against your family, every word that speaks against Calvary City Church. Come on. Help me praise Jesus tonight. Help me praise Jesus tonight. Come on. Let's break it. I break it. Again, let me free. Some of you just need to forgive yourself. Even repent right now, next 30 seconds. Lord, if I have thoughts that's not pleasing about you, God, I ask for repentance. Come on. The way you experience His love is a posture of humility. Ask the Lord, forgive me, God, that I thought that you would never give me that promotion, God. Forgive me, God, that I thought, Lord, that you are actually far away from you. Oh, let God set you free tonight. Let God set you free from every misconception. God, I thought I need to do this for you to do that. No, my friend. Come on. How many of you are afraid that you will lose your stock market? How many of you are afraid? God, if I do this, I will lose this. The Lord is saying, no, I am holding your hand. I will never let you go, and I'm not going to do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every hand lifted up. As I pray for you and Pastor Daddy going to serve us communion, I want to lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray, let the word of the Father be so, God, captivate their heart, Lord. Be so captivated, God, to this week. Father, those who need to be free, Lord, I just pray for the freedom of God. I want you to do something very quick, 30 seconds. Any thoughts and things that you felt like the enemy is lying about you and your family, and I want to close your eyes and imagine that you're giving it to God. I want you to imagine that you're giving it to God. That's repentance right there. Give it away. Don't take it because it's not yours. When you do that, you will experience the Father's love. Because God requires openness and transparency from you for you to experience His love. You cannot hide, my friend. God wants honesty. God wants accountability. God doesn't want you to hide in that sin. That's not the Father's plan for you. Come on, be transparent before God. Say, Lord, forgive me if there's something that, Lord, I did not pleasing to you. Lord, forgive me. As you do that, the Father is going to love on you. Come, run to the Father. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. Run to the Father. Run to the Father.